Today's daf in Masechet Beitzah, brought to you from Eretz Kodesh, is daf Yud Zayin. The last thing that we learned yesterday was that we paskin like Rebbe, and that was that it was a sword. There were two girsaot in Rebbe. According to one girsa, Rebbe had said that there's a difference between making an Erev Chatzeres on Yontif versus making an Erev Tchumim, because there's an Isser Tchumim on Yontif, but you can't ask him to make an Erev Chatzeres. The other Gerson Rebbe was that Rebbe was Machmer, both an Erev Tchumim and an Erev Chatzeres. And the last thing that we learned was we paskening L'chumra not to make on Yontif either Erev Tchumim or Erev Chatzeres. So we're up to now the second line, the end of the line, Tana Rabban. Tana Rabban, what happens when a Yontif comes out on a Shabbos? What exactly do you say when you're davening? So, mitpalel, instead of davening the normal Sheva, remember, only in art scroll is there a Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. That is beyond belief. But most normal people daven a Sheva. So, what Beis Shammai says is, since it's Yontif, you have to add a separate bracha for Yontif. So instead of davening Sheva, you daven Shmona. In one of the brachas, you say, Bekadosh Yisroel Vasmanim, and you mention the Yontif and so on. In the other one, you say Shabbos. Not like we do, that we put the two together, et Yom HaShabbat HaZev, et Yom Chag HaSukkot HaZev, and so on. Each one gets its own bracha, and you therefore will have to mention each separately. Omer Shal Shabbat, Bifnei Atzma, V'Shal Yom Tov, Bifnei Atzma. So it turns out, according to Beit Shammai, there's a concept called Tfilas Shmona, instead of Tfilas Sheva. Whereas Beit Hillel says, no, you say your normal Sheva, but you start the Tfila by mentioning it, Yom HaShabbat, HaKodesh HaZeh, and when you end the Tfila, you say, Mekadesh HaShabbos, but in the middle, you mention also that it's Yom Chag, HaSukkot HaZeh, and so on and so forth, but you do not end the bracha by mentioning the Yontif. Rebbe says, not true. You do what we do, which is Av Chotemba, Mekadesh HaShabbat, V'Yisrael, V'Azmanim, and you mention Shabbat, it's true, you begin as Yom HaShabbos HaZeh, as Yom Chag, HaSukkot HaZeh, and at the end, you also mention both Shabbos and Zmanim. Now, there was a Braita teacher who said over the Maimer of Rebbe wrong. And what he said was, Toni Tanaka Meida Ravina, Mekadesh Yisrael v'ha-Shabbat v'ha-Zmanim, which doesn't make any sense. Because that way you're putting Mekadesh Yisrael before the Kedusha of Shabbos, just because there's a Yontif. Why should the relationship between the Kedusha of Shabbos and Yisrael be changed just because it's a Yontif? Omar le otu Shabbat Yisroel mekachime, or Shabbat mekache v'kayma. I don't understand. Why does Yisroel come first? Shabbos doesn't need the Kedushas Yisroel in order to exist. The Yomim Tovim do, because it's Mikra Kedush, requires the Kedusha of Yisroel to be kered, that this is the month and this is the time for the Yontif, so then it makes sense to say Mekadesh Yisroel v'azmanim. But Shabbat is there from Sheshit to Mebereshit. It does not require anybody to be declaring that it's Shabbos in order for it to be Shabbos. Therefore, the correct gears, as Rebbe said, Ela Ema Mekadesh HaShabbat V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, and Omer of Yosef, that indeed is the Halacha. Uchidatorat Ravina, we paskin like Rebbe, the way that Ravina just described it to us. That is to say, that you have to do it the way we do it. First Shabbos, then Yisrael, and then there's Mani. That's the way that we understood it. Now, now that we're all here, I just wanted to go over with you again the idea of the Erev, which we're going to be discussing now. We didn't get a chance to talk about much. We were in a lot of rush before Yom Kippur. And basically, we had this machlokas. What is the purpose of the Erev Tafshilin, which we're bringing Isaac in this parak? So remember that we had a major machlokas. According to Rava, the idea was, Kedei sheyivrar mona yafa l'shabbat u'mona yafa l'yom tov. So we need to make sure that you're not going to be pogea in your Shabbos. And that was mevusas really on the pasuk that said, if there's a competitor to Shabbos, so then you have to be Zochris Yom HaShabbos from its competitors trying to get you to forget Shabbos. We're making this into like as if Yontem and Shabbos are up and fighting for our attention. So then the explanation for why it would be called an Eruv. What is about the Eruv in it? So the Ravid understands the concept of Eruv is because since what you're doing is you're now mixing your preparations for Shabbos together with your preparations for Yontem by having defined them as both being uniquely Chashuv, so because of that, we call it an Eruv. Others learn that the Pshat is that since you're being Semech on the Tafshil that you prepared from before Yontem, you're being Ma'arev, that continued cooking on Yontem with the beginning of the cooking before, and we look at it as if it was all made before. So it's an Eruv of the Tafshil, not an Eruv of the Tzorchei Shabbos. That is the Pshat according to the Tais. It's written in some of the other Rishayim. Now, how about if you hold the other approach, which Abaye's approach was the exact opposite, and that is the purpose of the Eruv is not to protect Shabbat. The purpose of the Eruv is to protect Yom Tov, because if the person will see that you're not allowed to cook from Yom Tov for Shabbos, so then he's going to understand the chashivas of Yom Tov, and he'll say to himself, well, wow, if you can't even cook from Yom Tov to Shabbos, imagine how terrible it would be to cook from Yom Tov to Chol. So really, it isn't focused on the takana of Shabbos. So then, why would we call it an Erev in that way? The Rambam, I mean, yes, you can push in the Tosfos Ritz Pshat and so on, that you're continuing to do it with before, but what is the continuing to do it before? How does that work in terms of the description of its being a real Eruv? The Rambam doesn't like that approach. It seems to me that the Rambam is coming to address the way that we understand the word Eruv if we go as he does, because when he explains Eruv, he explains it according to Abaye, that it is there as a special zechus for us to remember that your yontif is not allowed to be used for cooking for other time. So therefore, he gives a completely different shot. And according to the Rambam, there is no meaning in the word Eruv at all. The Rambam says that the word Eruv is basically a completely borrowed term. And his lashon is, Lama nikra shmo Eruv, shekishem sha'eruv, sha'osim b'chatzerot u'mevo'ot me'eruv Shabbat. What is that purpose of that Eruv? Mishum heker. It's there to get people to be aware of an important din. Kidei shelo ya'aleh al da'atam, shemutar la'otzim reshut reshut b'Shabbat. So then that's how we pass him. This is the heker. Kach ze ha'tafshil is a heker and a zikaron. So it's simply a borrowed term from the idea of the Eruv. It has nothing to do with an Eruv. And in the same way that an Eruv is there for a heker, this piece of meat is there as a heker. Kidei shelo yedamu v'yachshavu shemutar la'afot b'yom tov ma she'eino ne'echal bo b'yom. People shouldn't think that you're allowed to bake something on Yontif, something which is not going to be eaten on Yontif. Therefore, we call this tafshil Eruv tafshilin. Now, note that the Rambam also, meanwhile, has carefully gone out of his way to address another issue over here in classic Rambam fashion. So he doesn't say that this tafshil is called an Eruv because it will make it clear to you that you cannot cook something. No, he says that you cannot bake something from Yom Tov to Shabbos, right? So in other words, the Rambam is clearly telling you that if you make an Eruv with a tafshil, that would allow you to bake for Yom Tov. Now, as we'll see, that is not the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, and it's because of that, as you all know, when you make that Eruv tafshilin, you are going to make it with a piece of bread or a piece of matzah together with a tafshil. Why do you need two things? We don't paskin like Beit Shammai. It was Beit Shammai who said that you need two things. Beit Hillel says you only need one thing. And Rambam made it clear that you would be allowed to bake. The problem is, you remember that we had the sheet of Eliezer in which he said that if you are going to have a tafshil, then you can use the tafshil to bake, to cook. And if you want to bake, then you need to have something that was baked. And everything that you're going to be doing on Yontif is something that you have to do as part of your Erev. So you're going to be matmin, then you need to be matmin, and so on and so forth, right? So the Rabbeinu Tam is Chorshish for that Shita, even though it doesn't fit in with the other ways that the Gemara. So he says you're going to have to use whatever it is that you want to do. If you want to bake, so then you have to bake from before Yontif. So even though the Re says in the Tosfos here, I think this is totally wrong, and he explains why it's wrong. But he says, I just don't have the guts to argue on my grandpa. I'm going to go ahead and argue on the Rabbeinu Tam. I can't be Mamale Libi to ignore his psak, so fine. So anyway, so because of that, halacha lemaisa, we end up, because of his hesitation to argue, we end up actually using both things. But the truth is, if you really don't want to bake, you do not need to use that piece of bread at all, that piece of matzah. Because, I mean, it's just this chumra of Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, it sort of got kavua that that's the way that we make an erev. I just thought it was a beautiful introduction. It turns out that there's other approaches also. But the Rambam is quite shocking that an erev is not an erev at all. It's just like an erev. Interesting. Okay, anyway, so back to our discussion over here. So we've been talking about what it is that you do. Once we were talking about this machlokas with Rebbe, what it is that we do about the interrelationship, and note that this has been our theme, the interrelationship of Shabbos and Yontif. Started off the Masechet had that theme in terms of discussing the issues of Muktzeh l'gabei Shabbos Yontif, Hachana Shabbos and Yontif. Now we went out to discuss the idea of the Erev Tavshilin between Shabbos and Yontif. Now we've moved on to discuss the interrelationship between Shabbos, the Tfilas of Shabbos and the Tfilas of Yontif. How do we make sure, the same way we have separate food for Shabbos and Yontif, how do we have separate mentions in the Tfilah of Shabbos and Yontif, Machlokas, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel, about whether we actually have literal separate brachas or we have an extra bracha in the Amidah, and we have a Tefillah Shmoneh, as opposed to a Tefillah Sheva, according to Beit Shammai. Now, the question is like this, on the dinim of the Tefillah, so what about if it's not actually Shabbos and Yontif? What if it's like Rosh Chodesh? What about if it's Chol HaMoed? So do we also make a mention of the Chag? And what's the difference between Musaf, when we have the Musaf of both during Chol HaMoed, I mean, we've got like serious Musafim over there. What's the relationship between the Musaf of Shabbos and the Musaf of Chol HaMoed? That is what, don't do it, Gavi, I see what you're planning on. Keep that finger off of that phone. So turn it up on it. Shabbat Shechaliyot Rosh Chodesh, Rav Kol HaShomayim. So what do we do? Here it's Shabbos, well, what you do is, Arvit Shachrit U'Mincha, you daven, according to Arts Kol Shmoneh Esrei, I'm sure, but the rest of the Jewish people daven Sheva, so Mitpalal Sheva, and you say something about Rosh Chodesh, it's something about Chol HaMoed, which of course is what we do with Yalav Yovo. So we say Yalav Yovo during the Bracha of the Aveda. So we talk about it in Ritzei because that's where it would have been most nicker, the changes that we would have had to done if we would have had a Beis HaMikdash. So we would have been bringing these Karbanas special, and therefore that's where we would have been most aware. V'im lo amar, if you didn't say Yalla v'yava, you got to go back and say the whole Shemoneh Esrei, which does, is a regular Shemoneh Esrei here, Machzirinato, Rebbe Eliezer Omer. Here at Shabbos, we're talking about Sheva, but it's the same halacha during the week. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, you do not say Yalla v'yavo in Ritzeh. You say a tefillah the same way you do on Hanukkah and Purim. Where do you say that tefillah? In Adar, where you say Al HaNisim. So you say an appropriate tefillah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Yontif, the Rosh Chodesh, and that's where you say it. Now, this is all very nice for Arvid, Shacharit, Mincha. But what do we do during Musaf? So what you do in Musaf is you start mentioning the Shabbat, and so on and so forth, to count the Shabbos, and you end with the Bracha of Shabbos, and you mention the fact that it's also Chol HaMoed in the middle of the Bracha. Now, we do not do this. So then it turns out, so according to this, we're learning both shitas over here. In other words, both the Tanakhama and Reb Eliezer are basically both saying that we talk about the Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh in a Yalla V'Yavo, but it's not in the middle of the actual thing. And when it comes to the Musaf, nobody says that we should actually talk about Mekadesh the Shabbos V'Rosh Chodeshim, or Mekadesh HaShabbos and the Moed, whatever it is. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Reb Yishmael ben Osha, ben Reb Yochanan ben Baroka, Omrim, Koma kom shuuskak l'sheva, wherever you need to say seven brachas, any tefillah, shachris, mincha, ma'ariv, you begin with Shabbat, and you mesayim with Shabbat, and you mention the kedushas hayom in the middle, but you do not, in other words, what they're saying is that Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh is exactly the same as the concept of Yontev without a mention. Omer Avuna, in Halacha Kotazur, we do not paskin like that. We don't change the actual bracha of the Amida. And on Shabbos, we don't change the Birchas Sheva of the Shabbos to include the mention of the Chol HaMoed or the mention of the Rosh Chodesh. As we well know, all we do is we mention it in Yalla V'Yavo the same way that we would if it wouldn't have been Shabbat. So why should we alter the bracha of Shabbat if we wouldn't have altered the bracha of the normal tefillah for Chol HaMoed? And therefore, we don't paskin like that. Ein halacha koto azug, there's no mention in the actual bracha of Atakonant, or Tikkat HaShabbos. Now, what that does mean, why don't we just say that the halacha is like Tanakama? Because it isn't, you see. The halacha is not like this zug, and it is like the Tanakama as far as the din of Yalla V'Yavo is concerned. But we can't say that the halacha is like the Tanakama because the Tanakama did not say the right halacha for Musaf. Because the Tanakama said that in Musaf, we're not going to mention the Rosh Chodesh and we're not going to mention the Shabbos in the Siyam of the Brocha. We're only going to talk about it in the middle when we're talking about the Karbanos. And that is not true. Because when it comes to the Musaf, the way that we paskin was like Rebbe, what we said earlier. And according to Rebbe, we do say Mekadesh, Shabbos, Vayisrael, Vazmanim, that we already paskin. So because of that, we're careful not to say Halachik Tanakama, even though it is Kitanakama in this one prat about Yalla V'Yavo, it's not like him in terms of Musaf. So that clarifies it. When it comes to the weekday, it's only Yalla V'Yavo for sure. If it's the Musaf of the day, then we paskin that, no, we actually talk about the Musaf, we talk about the day, and we're Messiah with the Brocha, and if it's the actual day, we paskin like Beit Hillel, but the way Rebbe learns that we do mention Mekadesh, HaShabbos, and the actual Yontev in the Siyam of the Brocha. Omer Pchia Barashi, Omer Rav, Miniach Adam Eruvei Techumimi Yom Tov L'Chaviro U'matneh. So suppose somebody wants to make an Eruv Tchumim for the Shabbos that's following the Yontev, and now Yontev comes out on Thursday and on Friday. So what he could do is that even though he didn't make the Eruv Tchumim on time before, he could actually make an Eruv Tchumim on Yontev itself because he can make it tonight. And he could say like this. This is talking about the 2 days Yontev in the Goliot. So he could say, if today is really Chol, so then, here's my Erev. If today is Yontev, then pay no attention to what I just said. I'm not doing anything. Okay, fine. Then on the second day, which is Friday, he then says, if yesterday was really Yontev, so then that would mean that I'm going to be making my Erev Tchumim today, and that way I'll be able to walk out on Shabbos. If yesterday was actually Chol and today is Yontev, then I'm not saying anything. You didn't hear anything. On my Rava, actually, you could do the same thing with an Erev Tafshilin. So let's say you forgot to make the Erev Tafshilin on Wednesday, which is when you should have made it. So what you do is you set aside your Erev on the first day of Yontev, and you say, if today is not really Yontev and it's Chol, then this Erev is my Erev. If today is Yontev, then I don't need an Erev, because then tomorrow is really Chol. And then Erev Shabbos is a regular weekday, and I'd be allowed to cook on it. So therefore, you can then cook on the second day, Mamon of Shabbos. Either you're cooking because it's Chol for Shabbos, or you're cooking because you made an Erev Tavshilin. So now Rav, who says that you could make even an Erev Tchumim, for sure holds you can make an Erev Tavshilin. We'll see the difference in a moment. But if you hold, like Rava, we're over there, he's saying you can make an Erev Tavshilin, but that's because it's the Tzerech Liachil of Yanta. And it's because of that you can make it now, because otherwise you wouldn't have for Shabbos. So Erev Tchumim you can live without. My time, Miknei Shvita b'Shabbat alo. This Shabbat doesn't mean on Shabbos, it means on a day of a mitzvah of Shvisa. So the Rabbanan said, I don't care, look, the reality that you're making this T'nai, if it's really Chol, what do you mean if it's really Chol? The Rabbanan told you to treat this day as a Yontif, right? What do you give me this stuff, it's really Chol? You're not supposed to be making a Kinyan to a Mokum Shvisa on Yontif. So I understand that if it's part of the way in which we're creating the dinim for the Yontif and Shabbos relationship itself, yes, that yes. And but to tell me that I should do this for the Erev Tchumim, you'll live without an Erev Tchumim, what's the big deal? And because of that, we're not going to allow you to do it. So that's why we made the difference. If you hold Erev Tchumim, for sure, Erev Tavshilin. Now, you can't make food if you didn't make the Erev. Now, what would be the din of cooking from one day of Yontev for the next day of Yontev? So Tana Rabbana, Ein ofim biyontov lechavero. You are only allowed to make what you need for that day. You can't use it to make for another day, even for the other day of Yontev. And therefore, you cannot do any type of preparation, which is why we are so careful not even to set the table and to wash the dishes from the day before or to carry the food out of the freezer or whatever it is that is required for the next day of Yontif that we do on the second day, because you're not allowed to do from one day of Yontif to the next. However, Be'emet Amru, they did say a very important halacha that is a bit surprising, which is that even if a woman only needs one piece of meat, she can fill up a big gigantic pot full of meat and cook the whole thing for the next day of Yom Tov, for Shabbos, or whatever it is. It's not a problem. As a matter of fact, a baker is allowed to fill up a whole gigantic samovar of water to bake hot. Even though maybe he only needs like one pitcherful. But the baker cannot bake more than he needs. Why is this? Because whatever you can do that is done with exactly the same amount of work. So I'm cooking up a pot that has meat in it. What difference does it make how much meat it is? Let's say I decide, I made this whole cholent, you know, and now I decide, you know what, I want to add more meat to the cholent. You can't throw in another piece of meat into the cholent. Throw in another meat into the cholent too. So extra tircha. If I'm cooking up water, it's different how much water there is in your kettle when you turn it on. So you put in as much water as you like. Mashenke, if you're going to be baking, every single piece of bread or cake or whatever you're baking has to be handled separately. So therefore, lefot eno ofer elamash tzarich lo. That you can only do what you absolutely need. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, not so simple. Because there's another good reason for us to allow you to do something with tzarech the next day too, even though it's usser. Why? Because you're not really doing it only for the next day. By definition, when you fill up that pot or you fill up that oven, the food will taste better. So in the ovens that they had, the small ovens, where they would put it around the edge of the oven, the more that's in the oven, the more powerful is the heating effect of the oven. Everything ends up tasting better. And the same thing is true. You add another piece of meat in the cholent, the whole cholent tastes better. So basically, whatever it is that you're doing, you're doing for today as well. So the fact that there's extra meat there, that's fine. Mipnei shapat me'efet yafeh bizman shatanur maleh. Omar Rava, that in fact is how we paskin. Either if it's not causing you any additional work, or if it's useful for the taste of what it is that you're preparing, then you'd be allowed to do it even though you're not going to eat that actual thing today. Iboyamo. So now the question is, what if you forgot to put an Erev Tavshin? What's the din? We said he's not allowed to cook anything, said the Mishnah, even if it got lost or got eaten before you cooked. But what does that mean? That you are not allowed to cook? Or does it mean your food is off limits for cooking? So in other words, could you give it to somebody else? Somebody else who is allowed to prepare from Yontif to Shabbos because he did leave it Erev, he could cook for you? Or is it a din in your things? Your things cannot be used at all. Hu ne'esar ve'kimcho ne'esar? Odeyumah hu ne'esar, but ein kimcho ne'esar. L'may nafkamina? Nafkamina would be la'kneya kimcho la'acher. To transfer the kemach to somebody else's ownership. So, I amret hu ne'esar ve'kimcho ne'esar. If you're going to tell me that the actual food that you have is also usser, and therefore nobody is allowed to use it to bake for you, so then you'd have to give it away. Once you give it away, belongs to somebody else, then it doesn't remain usser. So then he would sarek lakniyakim kolacher. But if you're going to tell me it's not a din in the kemach, and it's only a din in the individual, he's not allowed to cook or to bake, so then lo tsarek lakniyakim kolacher. So what's the din? Tashma, the braita tells you what the din is. It says, misho iniyacher of tafshirin. This guy can't do anything. He can't bake. He can't cook. He can't be matmin the food to stay warm. Lo lo v'lo la acherim. He can't do this for himself or for others. And others cannot do it for him either. Lo acherim ofinu mevashlim lo. So what should he do? Starve? No. Maknekim kol la acherim. He could transfer his things, give them away, and then they can do what they want. So if they're kind people, they will bake for him and invite him to a meal, so to speak, or give him a meal. So, maktakim kol ha'cherim, ba'ofim lo, umevashlim lo, shir shmamina, you see from here, hu ne'esar ve'kim kol ne'esar shmamina, and if he doesn't transfer it, it's over. By the way, Tosfos has a completely opposite gersa. According to Tosfos, if the kemach is ne'esar, it won't help to give it away. So therefore, he learns from here, because how did you take off the Easter on the kemach? So Tosfos understands it to be an actual Easter on the kemach, that's chal, even if you would give it to someone else. Of course, it has changed the whole gersa, therefore, because then the Gemara is proving that kimcho is not ne'esar, but it's obviously that you can't use his kemach for him, because he didn't have a right to use it. A completely opposite approach. Now, the question is, what about if a guy went ahead and he actually cooked and baked without his heir? What's the deal? Is it usser, b'diavad, or b'diavad, does he have what to eat? Tashma, here's a braita. It says, b'shalo iniach eruvei tavshirin. If he did not make his erev tavshirin, what should he do? Maknekim kol ha'achirim, v'achirim ofim lo, umevashlim lo. Others can make for him. Didn't we just read that? I mean, if we're looking to figure out what is this guy going to eat, shouldn't the Tana have mentioned, well, if he anyway went ahead and did it, he would be able to eat? Why is it only mentioning if somebody else made for him, he'd be able to eat? It should have said, Avar v'yafa mutar. Says Ravada Parmasa, that's not a raya. I mean, the Tana doesn't tell you, well, you know, wink, wink, you know, if you did it, you'd have what to eat. That's not the way a braita works. The braita is telling you a Tana of takanta de hetera. It's not coming to tell you a takanta de isura. So this is no raya. Come see if you can bring me a raya from somewhere else. Okay, come listen to this. Tashma. Mi shiniach eruvei tavshilin. Someone left an erev tavshilin. He can do whatever he wants. Ofer, mevashel, matmin. As a matter of fact, if he wants to eat his erev on yontev, he's allowed to eat his erev. It's not that the erev has to be left over itself for Shabbos. The problem is, of course, if he ate it too early, he's not going to be able to do anything. So, so then he's not allowed to. But he can still cook for Yontev, and if something was left over for Yontev, he could eat it on Shabbos. Now, do you think I'm going wink, wink? Do you think I'm saying you could bake for Yontev? You get the idea? If there was some left over, you know, then you would have what? No, I'm not. You cannot pretend to be baking or cooking because you're pretending that you need it for Yontev when you don't really need it for Yontev. That you cannot do. And if you did, it would be usher. Now, I mean, if even pretending would make it usher, so kol shekein, if you went ahead and you actually baked without your erev, for sure it would be usher, right? Amar Rav Ashi, wrong. Ha'aroma is worse than actually going out and doing it. This is an amazing thing. Because people, once they rationalize, they just rationalize to the bitter end. They're never going to change. If you go ahead and you do something wrong, okay, so I know it's wrong. I did something wrong. Maybe I'll do tshuva, I'll fix it up. Nobody's going to learn from me. What is this idiot cooking without an erev tafshilin? And so on and so forth. So it's always worse to be ma'arim. It's worse for you. It's worse for others who are going to be involved in learning from you. And there's, oh, you see what you do it that way. And therefore, you can't bring a raya from Aharon Agavi. Could you please pick me up some extra chometz for Shabbos, once you're there anyway. So ha'aroma kamre, shine ha'aroma de'achmiru barabonin tfei mimezi. It's worse to be ma'arim than it is to do it on purpose. So this you can't bring a raya. I asked you what the din is if you straight out went and was over. That's not a raya. But not about Yitzchak Omar. I'll tell you another reason why this brisa doesn't prove a darn thing. Because this brisa could very well be going according to Hananya, who was going in the Shita Beit Shammai. Listen to this, the Tanya. Hananya Omer, Beit Shammai Omri, Eino Fim, Elim Kenei Erev Bepat. You want to bake? You have to have had some baked goods for your Erev. So you needed to use some bread. You want to cook? Then you have to have some cooked goods. Eim Avashalim Kenei You want to be matmin on for Shabbos? You have to be matmin before the Yontev also. Every activity that you want to engage in, you're going to need that particular thing in order to be able to do it. And so if he is being so machrid, Attila says, what's the problem? You make a simple tafshil. And that single tafshil achad, do whatever the heck you want, cooking, baking, matmin, anything at all. So fine, so inachinami, according to Hananya, there's an awful lot of chumras that are involved over here. And therefore, I could tell you, this braita that's being so machmir, and it's telling you that harama is usur, maybe going according to Hananya. But we still have no raya what the din is according to those who either are not mechalik, who are mechalik between harama and bezid, or, if you don't hold of a Hananya, I don't know what the din would be. Says, well, okay, I'll bring you right from the Mishnah. Ha-ma'aser perotav v'shabbat v'shogeg yochal b'mezid lo yochal. So you see, if somebody was over on an Isser d'Rabbanan, on a food preparation, and that was taking off Trumas and Maisers, it says if he did it on purpose, he's not allowed to use it. So the same thing should be true over here also. If you, Bedavka, went out and you cooked without an Erev Tafshil, it would be the same thing as preparing your food by taking off Trumas and Maisers. You did it on purpose, so then you would not be allowed to use it. Says the Gemara, no. I mean, how do we prove anything? How do we know what the din would be? It could be that we're talking over here that it's also where you did not have, where you had other pears to eat. I'm asking you, if you didn't have anything to eat for Shabbos, what about then? You didn't tell me what to do. That was our question. The guy didn't have anything to eat. He was over and he, would he be allowed to use the food? That's how the whole question started. You can't bring me a raya over here from this Mishnah in Trumas about the fact that it's usher to eat those pears. Maybe it's usher to eat those pears. Doesn't mean you don't have any other food. So that's not a raya. Okay, so let's take a look at this Mishnah. Hamatpil kelav b'shabbat. Now, it's usher to be tevel kelim on Shabbos because it's similar to be matakin money. The din is, if you did it b'shogeg, you can use those kelim. But if you did it b'mezid, you can't use them. So over here, it's telling you that you can't use something that was done as an issur d'rabbanan for preparing to have your food. So the same thing should be true of the food. No, it's the same answer. I mean, who said this is the only kelim he has for? He's not going to be able to eat? He has nothing to hold his shulchan with. I mean, he doesn't have some other plate now. No. It could be here also. Or, you know what? It could be when it's nogea kelim. It's not a big deal. You go into a neighbor, you borrow kelim. You can't go borrow necessarily food because people, maybe they didn't make enough food for you to borrow. But kelim, everybody has some extra dishes here and there. So because of that, we're not going to be matir. But our question is, what if the guy, mom's not going to be able to eat on Shabbos without an Erev Tav Shilin? Maybe the Rabbanim were matir b'diavad, you know? Okay, I'll bring you a raya from the din of Mevashel b'Shabbos. Okay, the Mishnah says, I'm Mevashel b'Shabbat, b'Shogeg yochal, b'Mezid lo yochal. Should be the same thing as true over here. And you're comparing Yisr Shabbos, Yisr Diraisa, Yisr Skila, what kind of comparison? Yisr the Shabbos shining? Obviously, Shabbos is more chomer. I could bring a raya that if somebody was over, that he would be able, that he wouldn't be able to eat. Now, getting back to the Mishnah, where Beit Shammai says you need shnei tafshilim, and according to Beit Hillel, tafshil echad, and then we say that everybody is meged, if you have the dog that has a little bit of egg on it, that's considered to be two separate tafshilim, masiz in the loki haitana, but that way that the Mishnah has it is definitely not like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, because some Reb Shimon ben Elazar, you should know that both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel are meidim, that shnei tafshilim are definitely a need. The question was whether the dog of Beit Shalom qualifies as shnei tafshilim. Now, our Gemara says, our Mishnah's Girsa says, that according to Beit Hillel, you do not need shnei tafshilim 100%. And it's just a question that Beit Shammai agrees that if you have the dog that is cooked with egg on it, that that's considered to be shnei tafshilim. According to Reb Shimon ben Elazar, that's good for the machlokes. Al dagu beit sashalav, Beit Shammai holds that you need two tafshil, and I don't see no two tafshil, don't give me this. It's bottled to the fish. You're just making the fish pretty. I don't call that shnei tafshil. Ubeit Hillel omrim. No, that, in this case, one tafshil is sufficient. That's how Rashi understands it. Vishavim, so Beit Hillel is going lakula. Vishavim, but both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree that if you actually made some egg salad, so you smashed up an egg, and you were prepare the beitzah, v'natan l'toch hadag, and you put it like inside of the fish, so now it's standing there separate, it's not bottled to the fish. Or let's say you cut up some kaplutot, v'natan l'toch hadag, you have a minced rocket or something. Those are considered to be two separate things because they're made separately. The fact that you made it look nice by putting it inside the fish or whatever, that doesn't change anything. Oh, my Rava, the halacha goes like our gears, like the Tana of our Mishnah, Ketana Didan, and obviously it goes on Libet of Beit Hillel, and all you need is one simple kind of dish, and that is the halacha. Except that, as I mentioned to you before, we have the Rabbeinu Tam, that because Rabbi Eliezer said, you need tafshil to be matir tafshil, bishol, and you need ofui to be matir afia, that he held that's the way we paskin. So even though the Ri says he thinks that it's wrong, Lamaisa, it's brought that it became the minute to be machmer on this, just to be yotzer Rabbeinu Tam as well. But if Lamaisa, you don't want to be ofe, most people don't actually bake on Yom Tov, so then you wouldn't need it. And it would be perfectly okay. The very last piece is that if you ate up your Erev, or the doggy ate up your Erev, and it was Avad, so then you can't use it. Lo yavashel alav. Omer Abaye, that's true, but we do have a Kabbalah that naktinan, that itchil be'isato, if you already started preparing the bread, and now you're in the middle of kneading, and that's when the doggy ate it up, then you're allowed to continue what it is that you already began. The question is, already began any baking or already began that particular bread that you had already started on? The mashmaut, according to the Mishnah Berurah, the mashmaut is from Rashi, it's only the piece that you actually started. So halakha l'maaseh, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's best and nicest to keep your Erev in order to be mekayim b'lecha mishnah on it in the evening and in the morning, because since it was made for a mitzvah in the first place, do another mitzvah with it, like we do with the burning our chametz with our lulavim. It's nice to keep your Erev, and then you can eat the Erev in your last Suda for Suda Shlishis on Shabbos, and everything will be hunky-dory.